Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Many respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program Al Mustafa, the Chosen One. Inshallah Azza wa Jalla, today we'll be talking about love of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam for Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Nabi Zadahallahu Sharfan wa Ta'azima. Inshallah, be with us an interesting amount of knowledge, very interesting facts, immense amount of knowledge, inshallah, we'll be sharing with you. Be with us from start till end. But before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make few good intentions. My Shaykh-e Tariqat, Amir of Ahle Sunnah, Hazrat-e Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, has given us a beautiful mindset that we should not forget to make good intentions before we perform any permissible task or any good deed. As I am presenting this program, I make this intention, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, and present this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to spread invitation towards righteousness and alai kalimatul haq, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. As you can also make intentions that you will be with us from start till end, you will listen with utmost concentration. You'll remember what you learn, act upon, and you will pass this knowledge on to others too. Ask your family members, children, to sit in front of their Madani Channel's TV screen, because today we'll be talking about Mecca and Medina, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. We've got our brother Waseem Abbas, Muballigh of Dawat Islam, with us. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Waseem bhai, how are you doing? You okay?
Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. How are you, Rizwan?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Quite excited today because we'll be talking about Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam, and in specific love of Aka Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam for Haramain Tayyiban. So if in the start we can begin with the birth of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam, which happened in Makkatul Mukarrama. No doubt Makkatul Mukarrama has many excellences, many blessings, because there is Ka'batullah Sharif, there is Safa, there is Marwa, Masjidul Haram, and many other sacred places are there, which could be the causes of its reverence, respect, and excellence. But subhanAllah, one of the most excellent cause, or the reason you can say, for its excellence is that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam was born in that city, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam walked in that city.
SubhanAllah.
How would you begin with?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, Rizwan Bey, as we're talking about Haramain Tayyiban today, the two holiest cities on the face of this earth, it also brings a smile and a feeling of joy in the hearts of the devotees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as we're talking about those cities which were most beloved to the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And we can imagine that the cities that were beloved to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, how sacred those cities would be. And this also is one of the prerequisites of a devotee of the Prophet to love those cities which were loved by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And as you beautifully mentioned, that when we talk about Makkatul Mukarrama to begin with, of course, there are many, many causes that can be deemed as the causes for its reverence. But one of the utmost significances, excellences is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was born in that city. And then it is not only that, Rizwan Bhai, when we're talking about other sacred signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being there, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions himself regarding the excellence of Makkatul Mukarrama in his glorious book in the Holy Quran. And then we also come to know that not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions the excellence of Makkah in the Holy Quran by mentioning the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to be in that city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Balad in verses 1-3, La uqsimu bi hadhal balad. This is how this surah, this chapter of the Quran starts. Wa anta hillum bi hadhal balad. Which means that I swear by this city, Makkah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by the city of Makkah. And then it is said, وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ, that for you are in this city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just imagine that a city upon which Allah Almighty is taking an oath. And then the reason is being mentioned in the following verse, that for you are in this city. So we can imagine that no doubt Makkah al-Mukarramah is one of the most holiest cities on the face of the earth. And the reason, one of the reasons that has been mentioned in the glorious Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he is in this city. So as we're talking about the excellences of the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwarah, at the same time, we also realize and we also go through the excellences of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam as well. So Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwarah, both these cities, they serve as the heartbeats of the Muslim Ummah, of the devotees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who yearn and desire to visit them throughout their lives.
SubhanAllah, beautiful point you brought, the ayah of Quran, mashallah, which mentions the excellence of Makkah al-Mukarramah. No doubt, when you are born in any city, you have got love, you see, and having love for the city you are born or that is associated with you or you live, it is also, you see, this is also recommended in Islam that one Indeed. Should have that love for. Now imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam taught us deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us each and everything, see, whatever is in deen. So how much love would he have for that city which belonged to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see, he lived. Now, there are many excellences of Makkah al-Mukarramah, as you just mentioned in Quran also, subhanAllah, mentions the excellences. One of the beautiful point ulama, they've mentioned that any person, any city or anything, if it has many names, right, that would be classed as a fact that that thing, that person or that city has got many attributes. And it has got many qualities. That is the reason it has got various names, right? And subhanAllah, if we see how many names this particular city, Makkah al-Mukarramah, has. Many cities of the world you may have heard, many parts of the world you must have known, the country's names you must have heard, but you will not find that it is known with any other name, right? Maybe one or two names, most probably you would find. But subhanAllah, this city, how many names? Ulama, they mentioned there are many names, but these are the 10 names they I would like to hear quote. Makkah al-Mukarramah is known as Al-Balad. It is also known as Al-Baladul Amin. SubhanAllah. It is also known as Al-Balada. It is also known as Al-Qariyah. It is also known as Al-Qadisiyah. It is also known as Al-Baytul Atiq. SubhanAllah. It is also known as Ma'ad. It is also known as Bakkah. It is also known as Ar-Ra's. And it is also known as Ummul Qura. So these are the 10 names what I've just mentioned before, viewers of Madani channel. SubhanAllah. This tells that how many qualities, excellences or attributes this particular city possesses. That's why it possesses many names.
Indeed, Rizwanvi, and as you were mentioning that, there might be some cities in this world who perhaps would have two or three different names, but even those cities who would have three different names, that would be because of any worldly reason or some man-given reasons. But when we're talking about the sanctity, the sacredness of Makkah al-Mukarramah and these names being associated with Makkah al-Mukarramah, these are not because of any worldly reasons. These are because the honor and dignity which has been granted to it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've covered one ayah of the Quran, one verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the dignity of this city. And also one of the reasons that because, oh beloved, you are in this city. But when the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions his own love for the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah. That's
when the topic of the day.
Indeed, that's when the reverence and that respect element of the city increases further in our hearts, and we also tend to understand a bit more better that what great sanctified city this is. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, at the time of migration,
which hadith is that, could you also please mention?
Subhanallah, this is Imam Tirmizi rahimahullah, he mentions in
one of the most authentic books, indeed, of hadith.
He mentions in Tirmizi Sharif and hadith number 3952 that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this is at the time of migration, he addressed the city of Makkah.
Subhanallah.
Now again, look at the expression of love. He's addressing a place,
subhanallah,
something which is apparently non-living.
Right.
Now he's addressing the city of Makkah and he says that you are most beloved to me out of all the cities.
Subhanallah.
You are most beloved to me out of all the cities. Had my nation not compelled me to leave you,
Allah,
then I wouldn't live anywhere else other
stayed.
Than you. I would have stayed over here.
Allah.
I wouldn't have lived anywhere else other than in you. So these are the words in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he addressed Makkah al-Mukarramah at the time of migrating from Makkah al-Mukarramah. So the again, this hadith is very comprehensive from the perspective of understanding the eminence of Makkah al-Mukarramah, the way the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam addressed it.
And the love for that city.
The love which was
possessed,
sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the love that was expressed through these words, it shows us that how sanctified and sacred the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah is. And also, Rizwan, when the devotees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they go to visit Makkah al-Mukarramah, yes, going to Haram, Masjidul Haram, performing itawaf, kissing Hajar al-Aswad, Safa, Marwa, you know, all these, alhamdulillah, are the dreams of the devotees of the Prophet to go over there and make du'as. But then comes a point when the heart is still restless to visit the place where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was born. To pay a visit over there and present durood o salam over there, salat upon the Prophet over there. Why is this? It is because Makkah al-Mukarramah is sacred, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us in the Holy Quran that this sacredness is associated with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was in the city, and the devotees of the Prophet especially pay visit at the place where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam
is. Right now, I think those that have been there, they tell that library has been created
right,
at that
yes.
very place. And subhanAllah, even devotees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever they go there, they go near that place, and subhanAllah, they also make dua there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to go to Makkah al-Mukarramah, subhanAllah. And subhanAllah, when we talk about Makkah al-Mukarramah, there are so many things that come in your mind. You just go into that world of 1400 years ago, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk around Kaabatullah Sharif, subhanallah. When Rasulullah, ulama have mentioned many places where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually offered salah. Now imagine when you know that you are there near Maqam Ibrahim, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered salah here. The blessed forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed, subhanallah, the floor, Allahu Ghani. And then you also do sujood there. What would be your state and condition and kafiyat, Allahu Akbar? And then if you know that these are the places where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk around and used to offer salah, used to give da'wah, used to invite people towards Islam, Allahu Akbar. And these were the same places where somewhere Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to live. And this was the water of Zamzam from which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to drink. And this association itself, subhanAllah. And then you go and visit Sha'air of Allah, the signs of Allah, Safa, Marwa, and Kaabatullah Sharif, Hajar Aswad, and so many, 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 many sacred places and maqamat, subhanAllah. And the mindset, your kafiyat, your condition in state goes to the next level. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, there is so much to talk about today about Makkah al-Mukarramah. Inshallah, we'll also touch مدينة النبي زادها الله شرفا وتعظيما صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Let's watch chosen message.
يا مصطفى the chosen one صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا مصطفى the chosen one.
While advising regarding bringing up children, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes that child should be taught to respect with whomsoever he has interaction with, meeting others with humbleness,
and talking respectfully and in a very polite manner with everyone. Teach such habits. A few days ago, I went somewhere in someone's house. That was our first meeting. We also sat down for a while. The host called his son and introduced him to me. Now, the father was guiding his son that how he should talk and behave. But when we instruct and guide our child in front of everyone, then this way that child feels embarrassment. For example, if any respectful personality comes to your house, and in front of him, if you start telling your child, oh, do this way, do that way, that child will definitely feel embarrassment in front of that personality. Well, it also depends how are you explaining and telling the child. Or if you do the same in front of your child, then he would copy you at some point. Yes, he would do the same. For example, your father comes to your house. Okay? Your father has come to your house. Now, father is also at home, and grandson of grandfather is also at home. Okay? Now, as soon as grandfather entered home, father stepped ahead, kissed his hands. Because here you did so, you are son of your father. That is why you're kissing his hands, but your own son is looking at you. How are you treating your father? As soon as son will see his own father kissing hands of his father, he would also step forward and kiss the hands of grandfather. You would have this experience if you go to someone's house. Well, you can also include this in one of the teaching methods. Well, the example I was quoting, if you go to someone's house as a guest, then host comes and welcomes you at door. And sometimes host removes shoes before entering sitting room. The owner indicates that this is the place to remove shoes. Now, when the guest would look at the host removing shoes there, no guest will enter with shoes and would remove shoes there. And there are different norms in certain places, like South Africa, and there are certain other countries where we travel. People, they don't remove shoes when they enter homes. And guests can also walk in with shoes. No one minds. In other words, this practice is not considered bad as compared to certain other houses or some other countries. Different places, different norms. So it's a very common understanding. Children copy and do the same whatever they look at their parents doing. They copy their parents. If you can get time, you should keep your child with you. And by this way, you can teach him how to meet and greet others. Definitely, you will be able to teach him the right way of meeting and greeting when he will be with you, and you will demonstrate how to meet and greet people in a very polite manner. And you should also teach the child what is respect. Yes, sometimes children don't behave well and they show very rude attitude, whereas sometimes you really get impressed when you meet well-mannered and well-behaved children. Definitely, these manners are taught by parents. I'm sharing my personal experiences with you, as I've personally seen how beautifully parents have taught good manners to their children. I'm not talking about young children, I'm talking about mature aged people. If father is about 60 or 65 years of age, then definitely children would be 40, 45. I've seen some really respectful and well-mannered individuals when they meet elderly or pious personalities. And kids also do the same. Sometimes their behavior and good manners are really impressive. And all this depends on parents. How do they bring up their children? And sometimes parents call children by force. Come on, they would say to the child to do this in front of everyone. And sometimes, unfortunately, what happens, they would say, sit down. And then they start mentioning and telling the mistakes of their child to that personality in front of their child. It's really not the right way to do. Metaphorically, this is the fruit of your own garden. It's fruit of your orchard, fruit of your own tree, even if it is sour. Yet, why are you blaming your own garden in front of everyone? It is my humble request to all the parents who are watching me right now, never disgrace your child in front of any third person. If you want to discipline him, you can speak to him directly, not in front of others. And all the kids, they should also learn to respect others when they meet and greet. Respect within the limits of Islamic law, and show respect and reverence By this way, your own respect and your parents' respect will also increase. Others will say this child has etiquette, manners, has a good brought-up. And further, Imam Ghazali Rahma guides that the child shouldn't be arrogant. He should be humble, down to earth. One should meet and greet being down to earth. We should always present ourselves humbled, because Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala does not like arrogant people at all. And he further says, we should make our child habitual of talking softly and in a polite manner with everyone. And this will happen when you will talk politely at home. Now, for example, if children are watching me, I would like to tell them, if you behave well with your parents, if you talk to them politely, respectfully, then definitely the same respectful attitude will reflect outside. And people will know about that. They will talk positive about that. And this will increase your own respect. This is what we need to teach to our children. Sometimes you would see your child is misbehaving. He is being rude to others. He is showing attitude. He is not being respectful. He is using foul language. When he would show such rude behavior in society, then definitely you would feel embarrassed in front of people. You should do tarbiyah at home, meaning you should guide and teach him at home. Like, dear son, you should meet this way, you should greet this way. Obviously, you would guide this way to certain age group, not to those who are too young. Obviously, two young children would have childish behavior anyways. But as soon as they start growing, and sometimes 4 to 5 years old, they also behave very well. People also respect and appreciate that this child is well behaved. So these are a few points that parents should teach to their children. That how to meet and greet with respect, how to remain humble and down to earth, and how to talk softly in a very polite manner. So these attributes should be taught to our children, and those children who are watching me, they should adopt these qualities within their personality. To respect elders and meet with them humbly and respectfully.
My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, today we're talking about Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's love for Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Nabi Zadahallahu Sharfan wa Ta'zima. Ji, Wasim Abbas bhai, you were talking about a beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Further, what would you like to share with viewers of Madani Channel?
The distinctive qualities and eminence, reverence that has been given to Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara, there's no other city in the world that share the same honor, the same privilege. Many ahadith, many verses of the Quran, they highlight this fact. At another place in the Holy Quran, we covered one verse earlier in which we were told one of the reasons for the sanctity, for the sacredness of Makkatul Mukarramah. There's another verse in Surah Ali Imran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another significant honor of Makkatul Mukarramah, where it is stated that the first house that was appointed as a place of worship for the mankind, that was in Makkatul Mukarramah, and blessed and a guidance to the whole world. So again, over here, we come to know that one of the most significant reasons, another reason that we come to know, is of the first place of worship that was ever built on the face of earth was in Makkatul Mukarramah, which was the Holy Kaaba. And then the other virtues that we go through regarding Makkatul Mukarramah, we don't find the same virtues, same honor, same excellences for any other city. For example, performing one pious deed in Makkatul Mukarramah, a person gets 100,000 good deeds. So one good deed equals 100,000 good deeds. This honor is not given to anyone else, to any other city in the world. Now, offering one salah in Makkatul Mukarramah equates to the reward of 100,000 salahs, whereas offering one salah in London or wherever you are, there is only one salah. So there are many, many of distinctive and features that are also associated with Makkatul Mukarramah.
As you're mentioning about some of the beautiful points regarding Makkatul Mukarramah, subhanAllah, another beautiful hadith, which is in Musnad Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, it is mentioned that Dajjal will not be able to enter in Makkah or Medina, and Medina. The Holy Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, Dajjal will not be able to enter Makkah and Medina. This is the hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This tells us how sacred these two places are. Mecca Sharif in Madinatul Nabi. Why? Because Dajjal, when this fitna will come, he will be able to go across the globe. Allah. Wherever he would want, he would go. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protect us from the fitna of Dajjal. Ameen. But this would be the power he would be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he would be able to go anywhere in the world wherever he would want. But he will not be able to enter where? In Makkatul Mukarramah, in Madinatul Nabi, Izadahallahu Sharfan wa Ta'zima. And these are the two places where they have got so many other distinctive features. One of the most important features is the Zat of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Aka alayhi salatu wa salam was born in Makkatul Mukarramah. Then he lived there, subhanallah, approximately most of his life, isn't it? And then the last part of his apparent life, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam blessed Madinatul Nabi, which became Medina because of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Before it used to be Yathrab, isn't it? And subhanallah, now it is Medina Tayyaba. And one of the most sacred place on earth, or the most sacred place, you can say, especially that specific area which is touching the blessed body of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Ulama, they've written, this is more sacred than Arsh. Allahu Akbar. That specific part of that land which is touching Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's blessed body. Can you imagine the sacredness of that place? Allahu Wali. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability that we go to Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Nabi, Zadahallahu Sharfan wa Ta'zima too. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, now let's include one segment in our program, and that is the chosen sunnah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, صلى الله عليه وسلم يا مصطفى the chosen one.
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, today we have got for you, for imama, it is sunnah that the length of imama should neither be more than 6 yards nor less than 2.5 yards. The minimum length of the shimla of the imama is equal to 4 fingers width, and maximum length is equal to an arm's length, i.e. up to half of the back. So this is a beautiful sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wearing imama. And today we discussed about the specific length of imama and the length of shimla. You must be thinking, what is shimla? So this part of imama is known as shimla. So we have just mentioned the length of the shimla, what is the minimum and maximum length, and the maximum length of imama sharif today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we wear imama, because the imama sharif is known to be the crown of angels, subhanallah. And on day of Jumu'ah, the one who wears imama, angels send salat upon that person, shower mercy upon that person, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we wear imama sharif during Jum'atul Mubarak also, during Salah also, while we pray, we should also wear. We should adopt these beautiful sunnahs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Wasim Abbas bhai, let's come back to our topic, which is love of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wa salam for Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Nabi, Zadahallahu Sharfan wa Ta'zim. Any other hadith or something you would like to share with viewers?
SubhanAllah, regarding Makkatul Mukarramah, few features that ulama they have written in the books.
Please.
I would like to mention them, inshallah, which would further enlighten the love for Ka'batullah, for Sharif, for Makkatul Mukarramah in our hearts. Ulama, they state that Makkatul Mukarramah, it is sacred because of many reasons. Yes. There are many certain rites and actions, acts of worship that are only performed within Makkatul Mukarramah, which cannot be performed anywhere else in the world. So this is another distinctive feature of Makkatul Mukarramah. Take a tawaf, take hajj, and many other such rites which can only be performed within Makkatul Mukarramah, nowhere else in the world. You take the example of salah, it can be offered anywhere. Take the example of fasting, it can be performed anywhere. But when we talk about performing the tawaf of the Kaaba, that can only be performed within Makkatul Mukarramah. And then other features that they've collectively mentioned, I'll quickly go through some of them, that the preaching of Islam is started from Makkatul Mukarramah.
Yes.
They further say that the Holy Kaaba, it is located in Makkatul Mukarramah. People perform tawaf of it, and people, they face towards Makkatul Mukarramah, towards Ka'batullah Sharif to offer there. Salah. Then the well of Zamzam water is also situated in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Hajar al-Aswad, Maqam Ibrahim, Safa, Marwa, they're also located within Makkah al-Mukarramah. And then, Rizwan Bhai, the more sacred a city is, the higher the protocols would be for that city. True. Now, anyone who enters Makkah al-Mukarramah outside Miqat, meaning outside the vicinity, outside the boundaries of Haram, he cannot enter just like that. He has to enter in the state of Ihram. This is the honor that has to be given to Makkah al-Mukarramah, and this is not given to any other city in the world. Anyone entering Makkah al-Mukarramah outside Miqat has to enter Makkah al-Mukarramah in the state of Ihram. Then the person who enters this city, the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, he will be secure. Then the cave of Hira, subhanAllah, also lies in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And which cave is this? Where the first revelation was revealed upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Furthermore, you'll be amazed to know that all the seasonal fruits, they will be available in Makkah al-Mukarramah.
There was a dua also in Quran, subhanAllah.
Indeed. And this, again, feature will not be found in any other city. There will be certain fruits, and if the season is not there, you won't find certain fruits. And certain fruits won't be found in different cities throughout the year. But in Makkah al-Mukarramah, you'll find all the season fruits. And the miracle of the ascension to the heavens, the mi'raj of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, also took place from Makkah al-Mukarramah. Indeed, and another great miracle, the splitting of the moon, also took place in Makkah al-Mukarramah. The Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he spent 53 years of his apparent life in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala anhu will also arrive in Makkah al-Mukarramah. These are some of the features that ulama have mentioned in the book which we brought forward to the
readers of Madani Channel. I would like to pick one of them, but you mentioned that there are certain ibadat or a certain ibadat which can only be performed in Baitullah Sharif, right? Which is Tawaf, indeed, which cannot be performed anywhere across the globe. Now, what had happened, once reviews of Madani Channel, there was a question arised, a person who divorced his wife. One of the divorce types is known as conditional divorce, right? He put a condition that if I'm not able to perform any form of worship which is not being performed by anyone on the face of this earth, then my wife is divorced. Allah. Now, this was the sentence he said. Now, when this question went to ulama and scholars, now what form of worship will he perform, which no one else is performing right now at the moment when he is performing? For example, if he offers salah across the globe, many someone people would be offering it. Salah. If he makes adhan or gives adhan, calls out adhan, definitely across the globe, different times, probably every minute there is adhan, which is called out, different timings are there across the globe. And if he recites Quran, many people across the globe would be reciting Quran. Right. If he gives sadaqah, many people across the globe could be. Now he was, ulama, they were also, you see, surprised that how can we save this divorce? Right. Allahu Akbar. This question was put to Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani alayhi rahmat. He gave a very simple and beautiful, straightforward answer that take this person to Baytullah and stop tawaf for a moment and allow him to perform tawaf alone. And he will be performing the tawaf right at that moment in time, and no one else will be performing tawaf. So the ibadah which he would be performing, he'll be the only one who would be performing. And this is how his condition would be fulfilled and divorce will not happen. This was the intellect of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And what a beautiful answer, subhanAllah, he presented and solved the mas'ala and problem. But it also gives us an understanding, as mentioned by Muballigh of Dawat Islami, there is a certain form of ibadah which can only be performed in Baytullah, which is tawaf. It can only be felt when you are there, when you are, subhanAllah, going around Kaabatullah Sharif, subhanAllah, doing tawaf, then you can feel the condition, the state you are in, which cannot be explained in words, to be honest with you. You have to go there, you have to feel. And I would like to invite those viewers of Madani Channel, those they have got capability, those they have got financial means, those they can go, those in 1 year they go to many places for holidays, please decide. Whenever it would be possible,
due to nowadays lockdown conditions, many restrictions are there. But as soon as they are lifted, the first visit you should make is, I would say, if you are a believer, you must go to Baytullah. If you make this intention today, inshallah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will make things easy for you. Go there, feel that ibadah, feel that journey, subhanallah. Feel those beautiful moments of your life, the breaths you would be taking in that atmosphere, the sacred places as mentioned by Muballigh of Dawat-e-Islam you would be visiting, seeing. There is no other holiday better than that vacation which you can spend in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having that experience, subhanallah, of being there in Makkatul Mukarramah, and then of course Madinatul Nabi Zadahallahu Sharfan wa Ta'azima. I would like to request you to make an intention, inshallah, the first priority in your list of going out somewhere would be Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Nabi Zadahallahu Sharfan wa Ta'azima. Zima Simba, what else would you like to share?
SubhanAllah, beautifully mentioned by yourself regarding the importance of visiting these places. Let's talk about cities of the city of the cities now. Let's talk about Madinatul Munawwara, Zadahallahu Sharafan wa Ta'zima, the heartbeat of the Muslims across the globe, the heartbeat of the scholars, the heartbeat of the awliya, the heartbeats of the sahaba. And what can be said about Madinatul Munawwara, Zadahallahu Sharafan wa Ta'zima, the city which was most beloved to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And it is stated that whenever he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would travel outside Medina, and whenever he would return, or whenever he would be at any journey, upon his return, he would be returning as per normal. But when he would see the walls of Medina, he would rush forward towards it. He would hurry in reaching Medina. He would make his ride go faster out of the love for Medina. In regards to this, it is stated in a hadith that when the Prophet ﷺ returned from a journey and would see the walls of Medina, then due to the love for Medina, he alayhi salatu wasalam would quicken his ride. He would make his ride go faster. And if he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a horse, then he alayhi salatu wasalam would spur the horse forward. He would make the horse go faster. Why? Yeah. Because this was his love for the city of Medina. This is how much he alayhi salatu wasalam loved Medina.
I think there's another hadith we would like to also add, which tells when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to remember Makkatul Mukarramah. Right? And then he would say, Ya Allah, that make this Medina.
Subhanallah. The hadith, what basically had happened was because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba, they had migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara, and Makkatul Mukarramah was their hometown, the place where they had grown up. So you can imagine how much love a person would have with their hometown. And when the hometown is Makkatul Mukarramah, you can imagine the extent of
love. House of Allah is there, Hajj is there, Umrah is there. Allah.
Indeed, they started the propagation of Islam over there. So what had happened was that some Sahaba, they used to remember Makkatul Mukarramah, and they used to, of course, be saddened upon it when they used to remember Makkatul Mukarramah. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he made this dua which Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he made this dua that, Oh Allah, make Medina beloved to us the way Makkah was beloved to us.
Or better.
Or in fact, more than that.
Subhanallah.
Make Medina beloved to us the way Makkah was beloved to us. Or more than that. And then we all know how Madinatul Munawwara, the love of Madinatul Munawwara was settled in the hearts of the Muslims. Everyone from the surroundings, they gathered in Madinatul Munawwara and they considered Madinatul Munawwara to be the most sacred place on earth. And many Sahaba, including the likes of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh, their dream, their wish, their desire was to pass away in Madinatul Munawwara. Why? Because again, there's another hadith in which the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is encouraged that if it is possible for you, you should die in Medina. What is the hadith? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that man istata'a an yamuta bil madinati falyamut biha.
Allah.
Meaning whoever can die in Medina, whoever amongst you can die in Medina, he should die in Medina. Fa inni ashfa'u liman yamutu biha. That because I will intercede for the one who passes away here. Just imagine the Prophet ﷺ is encouraging for the believers to pass away in Medina. Why? Because those who do pass away in Medina, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he will intercede
and
for
Allah,
them.
As they said here, let me mention that share, it is important to mention.
Subhanallah.
Taiba mein mar ke thande chale aao aankhe band. Seedhi sadak ke shahr e shafaat nazar.
Subhanallah. And Hazrat Umar Farooq Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the love he had for Madinatul Munawwara and the desire he had for Madinatul Munawwara can be seen from the dua that he used to make before his passing away. And again, this dua has been mentioned by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. He mentions this dua. What dua did Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala used to make? Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik wa ja'al mawti fi baladi rasulik sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning that, oh Allah, grant me martyrdom in your path, in your cause, and let my death be in the city of your beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This used to be the dua of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, that bless me with martyrdom in your way and let my death be in the city of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And ulama, they say that this dua was accepted so greatly in the favor of Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that not only did he pass away in the city of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but in the state of Salah and within Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, within the Masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So the encouragement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the act of the Sahaba alayhi ridwan, their desire to pass away in Madinatul Munawwara. Just imagine the city which Sahaba desired to pass away in. What would be the honor of living in that city?
Subhanallah.
And how sacred that city itself would be.
We'll come back and talk further on this very important point. Respect viewers of Madinatul Munawwara, I've been... I think it's the time for our segment. Let's go towards our segment, which is the chosen facts. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one.
Respectively, the very first question is also about migration. Which was the first migration in Islam? The answer is the migration of Abyssinia. And the second migration was obviously towards Madinatul Nabi, Zadahallahu Sharfan wa Ta'zima. Question number two we've got is, which prophet would not eat without a guest? The answer is Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Subhanallah. And number three is, what is the excellence of having love for the masjid? The answer is, whoever has love for the masjid, Allah Almighty has love for him. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Respected viewers of Madinatul Channel, today we are talking about Kaabatullah Sharif. We are talking about Madinatul Nabi. There are two important masajid which are also associated with these two blessed cities. One is Masjid al-Haram and one is Masjid al-Nabawi. Subhanallah. And the one who has love for Masjid, subhanallah, it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love him or loves him. So we should have this love to go to Baytullah. We should have this love to see Masjid al-Haram. We should have this love to go to see Masjid al-Nabawi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us there and we can gain the blessings. Vasima, what the point you were mentioning, that what was that where we left?
The Sahaba, they desire to pass away in the city of
Medina. Because Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had taught those Sahaba ikram. And definitely the love for these blessed city was also taught.
Indeed.
It was also embedded in their hearts. You see, what is the reverence, respect, and love and importance and excellence and sacredness of these cities? That was the reason, subhanAllah, they desired to die the city where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting, subhanAllah. And this also highlights the importance of these two blessed cities. The dua of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala is mentioned, subhanAllah. This tells that how important these two sacred cities are and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not love these two cities by himself, but also he transformed the love of these two cities to Sahaba ikram. That was the reason they used to make this dua. Otherwise, why would they make this dua?
Indeed.
What do you think?
SubhanAllah, indeed, Rizwan Bhai. And the personality of the Holy Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, they observed it.
In detail.
And then they implemented those practices of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, within their own lives. They acted upon it. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we've seen through the narrations that how much love he had for Madinatul Munawwara. Just imagine when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is returning back from a journey and he's quickening his ride when he sees the walls of Medina, he's hurrying to reach Madinatul Munawwara. The fortunate companions of Imam Ridwan that would be around him, when they would see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam hurrying to reach Madinatul Munawwara, the love that would have embedded in their hearts regarding Madinatul Munawwara. Why? Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he showed that love to the Sahaba regarding Madinatul Munawwara. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself is encouraging us to make dua, and he is encouraging us to die in Medina if we can. And when we further look into this, Rizwan, we come to know through narrations that the same place that was known as Yathrib at a point became Madinatul Munawwara by the blessings of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, we are learning this through the transmission of narrations. Imagine the Sahaba alayhimu ridwan who observed this firsthand right there, through whom these narrations have reached us, when they saw that this place was a place of calamity, this place was known diseases. As Yathrib, this place was known as the place of diseases. No one used to come over here. Allah. All of a sudden, the same place has become Madinatul Munawwara.
And the subhanAllah mud of that place,
the soil of that, the soil of that place becomes cure. So Sahaba alayhim ridwan, they witnessed all this firsthand right over there, and they are the ones who conveyed these narrations, transmitted these narrations to the Ummah. So we can imagine, like in today's day and age, approximately 1400 plus years after, still when we hear these narrations, the love for Medina, it, you know, enhances in our hearts. Imagine those Sahaba who witnessed all this from the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam right there and then. Imagine the level of love they had for Madinatul Munawwara. We are hearing about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam hurrying towards Medina when he's returning back, when he sees the walls of Medina. We're hearing about this, and all of a sudden great feelings and sentiments are arousing in our hearts. Imagine Sahaba Ikram alayhi ridwan who are witnessing that their master alayhi salatu wasalam is hurrying to reach Madinatul Munawwara. Then imagine the level of love that would have been developed in their hearts regarding Madinatul Munawwara. You know, we're talking about Madinatul Munawwara from Yathrib, it becoming Madinatul Munawwara. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, again over here, himself told us that this place was Yathrib, but it is Madinatul Munawwara now. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the narration, he states that I've been commanded to migrate to such an area which will consume, i.e. overpower all other areas. People call it Yathrib, though it is Medina. This area will purify and cleanse people just as a furnace cleans the dirt of iron. Just imagine over here, just this saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam over here, he's saying that I've been commanded to such an area which will overpower all other areas. Now, we come to know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded to migrate to Medina. From Makkah, he was commanded. And who was he commanded by? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can imagine that the dignity of Madinatul Munawwara was also so high in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he migrates to Madinatul Munawwara. And then he clarifies this point over here as well, that people call it Yathrib, though it is Medina. And then, not only this, this land of Medina, it purifies and cleanses people like a furnace. It cleans dirt of iron. And now, over here, further, ulama, they've mentioned over here that the person who still calls Madinatul Munawwara a Yathrib in today's day and age, he's a sinner. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi ta'ala, he's mentioned this, that the person who calls Medina Yathrib should repent. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, he mentions that the person who calls Madinatul Munawwara Yathrib once, he should say Medina 10 times as a compensation.
Allah, I would like to just highlight this point here. Especially because of Madinah Shani, you may have heard some of the poetry where still this word Yathrib is used. Even some of the naat, you may have heard this. So ulama, they have mentioned this clearly, that we should not use this word.
Indeed.
When we are referring Madina Munawwara, Madina Tayyaba, we should use Madina, Madina Tayyaba. But we cannot use the word Yathrib when we are referring to the blessed city of Madina, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's city. So this is very important. We should remember it was before Yathrib, but alhamdulillah, with the blessing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's arrival, it became Madina tun Nabi zadahallahu sharfan wa ta'zima. It's not anymore Yathrib. Subhanallah. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, another important point I would like to mention here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been reported to have said, "Man zara qabri wajabat lahu shafa'ati." Subhanallah. The one who saw my grave, my shafa'ah, has become wajib for him. Subhanallah. So this is one of the beautiful intention we should have whenever we go and pay visit to the blessed mazar iqdas of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We should go there with utmost reverence and respect. We should pay visit there in the court of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam with this intention that inshallah our visit to go to Madinatul Nabi inshallah azza wa jal will bring us this beauty of shafa'ah, inshallah, this blessing of shafa'ah, this inshallah we will have this blessing of this hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that on the day of judgment we will have shafa'at of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wa salam, the intercession of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Azza wa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, kya hi zauq afza shafa'at hai tumhari, vah vah, kya hi zauq afza shafa'at hai tumhari, vah vah, qarz leti hai gunah parhezgari, vah vah. Yes, on the day of judgment, respected viewers of Madani Channel, we will all be in need of the shafa'ah of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam. So today we should make those means, we should do those acts, we should perform those things which make us reach towards closeness of the shafa'ah of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam. And one of the ways is that we should love Makkatul Mukarrama, we should love Madinatul Nabi zadahallahu sharfan wa ta'zima. And when we will have this love, we will try to go there. And inshallah, once we go, we will visit the blessed grave of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam. We will have this blessing of this hadith as mentioned regarding shafa'at. Respected viewers of Madinatul Channel, now it's the time to include one segment. We'll come back, inshallah, we'll continue this topic. The segment is chosen wazaif. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one.
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, the very first wazifa for you today we've got is Ya Salamu. Ya Salamu. Reciting this 111 times and then performing dhamm on an ill person will provide him relief, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. And another wazifa is Ya Muhayminu. Ya Muhayminu. If a grieved person invokes this 29 times daily, he will get relief from his grief, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Moreover, he will remain secured from sufferings and afflictions, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. We recite these adhkar and wazaif. Ameen, bijahin nabiyil ameen. Dear Wasim bhai, over to you.
Subhanallah. In the beginning of the program, you were mentioning one of the qualities of Makkatul Mukarrama regarding it having many names. When we talk about Madinatul Munawwara,
it does so, yes.
Alhamdulillah, Madinatul Munawwara also has many names. And it is stated that there are more than 100 names of Madinatul Munawwara. Not one, not two, not 10, 20. More than 100 names. And some of them are Taiba, Batha, Madina, Abda, etc.
Subhanallah.
And Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala, when talking about the names, he also brings into discussion the topic of it being called Yathrib by some people. And then he mentions regarding, of course, it being a sin now.
Right.
Because, of course, he who calls it Yathrib should repent. And repentance is only upon sinning. Mm. So this point also gets clarified that, which you beautifully mentioned as well. And it's very important for us to understand that calling it Yathrib is not permissible. It is not allowed. It is a sin. And Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi further clarifies regarding Madinatul Munawwara that Yathrib means a place of calamity and disaster, and this place was full of diseases. Therefore, it was called Yathrib, but by the virtue of the Prophet ﷺ, it has become Taiba, That is, it has become the purified land. It has become the purified land. Now the place has become Darul Shifa, the place of cure, instead of Darul Waba, the place of calamity. So this is Madinatul Munawwara, that from a place of calamity, it has become a place of cure. It has also been given many names, which are more than 100, and it shows us the importance, the dignity, the honor.
Our pious predecessors, the love, the respect, the reverence they used to have for this blessed city of Medina, subhanAllah. And because they had read Quran, they had read Ahadith, indeed, they had read the reverence and respect of this blessed masjid, this blessed holy city of Medina, subhanAllah, and the adab of the court of Mustafa, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they would not raise their voices. Even Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and it is mentioned, even the blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had departed from this mortal world, apparently. Even then, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would not raise his volume up, having the reverence of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam. And alhamdulillah, this is our aqeedah and belief that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is alive in his grave. And the same protocol, respect and reverence still applies when anyone goes there, and he has to observe those respect and manners, subhanallah, the way sahaba ikram they used to do. Especially Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala. What would you say?
Amazing. And their desire, they spend all their life in Madinatul Munawwara just with the intention of passing away in Madinatul Munawwara.
Would not prefer to ride horse.
Indeed, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he states that once I saw some Egyptian or Persian horses tied at the door of Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala, and those horses meaning of the greatest of the races. And before this, Imam Shafi'i rahmah, he says that I had never seen such excellent, such fine horses. So I said, how excellent these horses are. To which Imam Malik rahimahullah, he said that I give you all the horses as a gift. Just imagine what horses meant back in those days. They were a very precious commodity. And then, being of the best of the races, Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala, he said that I give you all these horses as a gift. And Imam Shafi'i rahmah, he says that when I requested him to keep at least one horse for himself, then he replied that I feel shy from Allah Almighty that the blessed ground of Medina should be stamped upon by my horse's hoofs where the Prophet ﷺ is resting.
Allah.
That I do not prefer the same sacred land where the Prophet ﷺ is resting to be stamped upon, to be trampled by the hooves of my horses.
Allah.
Just with this mindset, this thought in his mind, he gifted all the horses to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala.
Allah.
And not only any ordinary horses, the best of the race they were of.
This was his generosity, this was his adab, this was his respect, reverence.
In front of the respect for the city of the Prophet ﷺ, horses didn't mean anything to him.
Allah. Allahu Akbar. And subhanAllah, respected viewers of Madinatul, there is so much to say. Time does not permit us. But today we wanted to explain to you the love of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam for Makkatul Mukarrama and for Madinatul Nabi. Zadahullahu shirfan wa ta'ziman. Subhanallah. This was the love which was transferred in the hearts of Sahaba Ikram. Then they transferred to Tabi'in, then Tabi'in. Then subhanAllah, these the same love which kept on coming until today, Ushaqani Mustafa, devotees of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they love Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Nabi. Zadahallahu sharfa wa ta'zima. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and respect to love these two blessed cities and give us tawfiq to visit them as soon as possible. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. That's all for today. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Keep watching Madani channel.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.